Thank God. God is a good God all the time. Aren't you glad you know Him?
Yes.
Oh boy, that was weak.
Yes.
Aren't you glad you know Him?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Shelly and I were talking about it this morning. We're just like, God is so good. He is such a good God. He has blessed us, and we know we're where we're at in life because of Him. And you look around and, wow, there's just certain things that are going on with people, and things are touted as the answer. And boy, look at these individuals, and things are held up like this is the way to do it. But if it's not based on God's word, it crumbles. And you see examples of this over and over. You know, people trying to tell us that, tell society that we found a new thing. It's not the way God would say it, but it's different. They know they wouldn't say that. But this is the way to do it. Or this is the way to, you know, interact with people. This is how you want to live your life. And you know what? The proof is in the pudding. And over time, it doesn't work. And it falls apart. And it's not based on the Word of God. And we're so thankful just to know Him and just to be able to live in the knowledge of God. Aren't you glad you know Him?
Yes.
Aren't you just glad to wake up? I mean, just to wake up and know God and to be content in what He's doing and just to in that knowledge. It's marvelous. It's just so fun to live with Him. So we've been in a series called Not of This World. I think we're on part 7 or so. Why don't we turn over to John 15? We'll start there. That's been our text, John 15 and John 17. John 15, verse 18. John 15, verse 18. Everybody there? It's on your sheet too. It says, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. That's not always, you know, you look at that and you go, well, but it's the truth. If the world hates you, you know, there's a large segment of the world that hates Christianity.
Yeah.
Hates. We get somebody hopping mad, you just start talking about Jesus. That's not motivated by God. It's motivated by something else. There's a reason why that's in the world. And it's because it's the spirit of the adversary of God Himself, Satan. It says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Then we're in good company. If you ever feel like, you know, getting pressure because you're a Christian or just in the world because you're a Christian, well, Jesus came before us. It says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Go ahead and turn over to John 17, just a few chapters over. John 17, verse 9. Glory to God. John 17, verse 9, it says, I pray for them, this is Jesus, say, I pray for them, I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Skip down to verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify or set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, and they all, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So we've been focusing on this. Notice Jesus said, you are not of the world. You are not of the world. We're in the world, obviously, but we're not of it. That's why not everybody's pleased with you when you say you're a Christian. We're not, this is not our home. We're not part of this world system. Verse 17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them or set them apart. By what? By your truth. What is truth? Some people they act like this is a deep question. Really, I mean, you know, what is truth? What is truth? What is it really? Well, it's the word. It's the word of God is truth. You can count on that. It's the word. The word is truth. There is nothing in the word that's not truth. If it contradicts the word, it is not truth. I don't care who said it. I don't care how many letters they have after their name. If they said it and it contradicts the word, then it's not truth. Now, we have to get this settled because this is a major issue today. Mm-hmm. Well, I know the Bible says, but. We have to get it settled because that the word, if God said it, he's smarter than me. He knows, and you either believe the Bible is so and that it is what it says it is, that it is the inspired word of God, that it is words inspired by holy men as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You know, this book was not written by the same human author, but it was written by the same author. That's the Holy Spirit of Almighty God over time. And all these books were written at different time periods, a lot of them, but they all, it's one continuous message over years, decades, hundreds of years, you know, centuries. But it is the inspired word of God. There are no contradictions in the word. People would like to point out stuff. Well, that's that contradiction. It's just a lack of understanding. How do you interpret the word? How do you judge the word? You judge it by itself. You interpret scripture by scripture. You divide it. You rightly divide the word with scripture. You don't divide the word with some outside source. And so when you understand the different parts of Scripture, it makes sense. If we think something's contradictory, it's because we have a lack of understanding. You can see that in the natural. You might think certain things don't make sense, but once you get some learning, you understand, oh, that makes sense. Like when you go fast, really fast, time slows down. For real. They've proven it. Called relativity. When you go fast and you're going super fast, I mean, not like 100 miles an hour, you know, approaching the speed of light, 180 some thousand miles per second, like seven times around the world per second, then time actually does start slowing down. Well, not that it's a contradiction, but it sounds like science fiction. It sounds weird until you realize, you realize that's actually true. Well, there are all kinds of things that seem like, well, how could this be? How could that be? In the natural, it's the same thing with spiritual. People say, well, it says over here and then it says over here. That doesn't seem to make any sense. But if you understand, the more you learn, then you start to understand, oh, that does make sense. And there's been things in my life like that, and there, I'm sure, been things in your life as far as the Word of God. Somebody said it like this, one of my instructors at Rhema, if you don't understand something in the Word, if you don't understand a portion of Scripture and it gives you trouble, shelve it. Just shelve it. What does it mean? Put it up on the shelf and leave it. You don't have to understand. And there's some things you're not going to understand right now. And that's okay. There are things that your 3-year-old or 4-year-old, if you had children, didn't understand. And you could explain it to them all day and not make any progress. Because they're just not at that place. When we're talking about shelving it, we're saying leave it, come back to it. And you may find 10 years later, you come back, you put it way, it felt like it was way up on the shelf, but you come back and it's at eye level. And you pull it off and go, oh, that's what that means. I understand it now. And there have been things in my life where I was like, I don't understand this. I don't see it. I don't understand how this and this. And I got some learning, and then I'd come back to it and said, oh, that's what it meant. I see that now. Well, the word is truth. If we'll just start here, God is right, His word is right, His ways are right. Now, whether I understand it or not, whether I can fully explain it or not, He's right. And if we'll stay on His side, then we'll be far ahead of the game. There are a lot of people that are like, I know what, they don't even know it's the Bible that's saying this, but they're chucking teaching that maybe came from their parents, or they may, you know, so few people, I shouldn't say so few people, there's a lot of people, much less now, that the number of people that go to church, just as, even if they're not Christian, born again Christian per se, but just the church going people has gone down. Like, it's not cultural anymore. The people that are going to church a lot of times believe it and are acting on it. But as just far as society doing it, there's a whole lot of people that don't. But there was a cultural impact of things. So things came down from parents or teachers. And a lot of, you know, young people are like, well, I don't see that. That seems like a stupid idea. So they're going to go over here and do their own thing. And it's not till 20 years later they wake up and go, they were right. But they just spent 20 years doing the wrong thing, wouldn't listen to instruction, wouldn't listen to correction, and figured it out the hard way. We don't have to figure it out the hard way. Here's a real good piece of advice. If God said it, believe it and act on it and take it as truth, whether we understand it or not, and we'll be far ahead of the game. By the time we understand it, we'll say, thank God I just acted on that anyway. I don't have to find out the things that are wrong. I don't have to go in a direction and find out, gee, God was right. That thing He's told me not to do, boy, it does hurt. It does cause pain. You know what the best testimony is? Just to walk a life out according to God's word and not make all these mistakes that we don't have to make. Some people think that's a dull testimony. That's the best testimony you can have. People think, a real good testimony is somebody that went way over here and made all these mistakes, and then God miraculously brought them back, and now they're good. That's not the best testimony. And those people, if they know, will tell you, don't do what I did. That's not what you want to do. Yes, God can restore, but it's so much better not to have to restore, right? Well, today, He is the Lord. He's the God of all creation. He said His word is truth. That means all of His word's truth. All of it. Even the parts you don't understand, it's still true. Well, I'm not going to act on that until I understand it. Bad move. If you know enough to say, I understand what it's saying, I don't know why, but if you understand what it's saying, act on it. Well, I don't feel like it. It has nothing to do with it. It's still true, and it'll still work all the time. His word is truth, it says. He said, sanctify them, the disciples, us, he gets to praying for us here in just a little bit, but the principle applies. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. He said, for their sakes I sanctify myself, and also that they may be sanctified by the truth. Now, let's go over a few of these scriptures just in preparation for where we're going here. Just in review, Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. Okay, we need to understand that even though our bodies were born of natural parents, when you became born again, something happened on the inside, and the new you is a direct descendant of Almighty God. Some people say, get into all generational curses and things like this, that, well, gosh, what about my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather? They did this, and so then I'm cursed, and I'm dealing with that curse. What you need to know to break through all that junk is your spiritual heritage. When you've been born again, doesn't matter who your natural father is, doesn't matter who your natural mother is, when you look at your spiritual heritage and you're a born-again Christian, you need to look up and say, who's my father? God. That's it. He's my father. Who's my big brother? Jesus. There's no curse there. That's it. I don't have to worry about all this stuff in the natural. That's my spiritual daddy. God Almighty. No curse. Done. End of conversation. Yeah, but so-and-so. No, but. That's how the devil works. He'll try to see if he can convince you that there's a curse. I'm not saying there aren't things in the earth and behaviors that men pass down. There are. But the devil operates by fear. And if he can get you to fear and be in fear, oh, there's a curse, something, that's how he gains power. But if you say, nonsense, God's my father, anything that was there, broken, done. Amen. You stand up today and say, no curse has any power over me because of the blood of Jesus. Done. End of conversation. Yeah, but your father, no, none of that. Zero. None. End of conversation. God is my father. Jesus, redeem me. We'll see you here in a minute. By his blood, done. I don't want to hear about it. Shut up.
Hallelujah.
Done. Because and you have teachings and people will accommodate this stuff. Yeah, but you have to do this and this to get rid of it. Jesus got rid of it. Believe it and be done with it. Just act on that. That's the truth. If you'll act on what Jesus did, that his blood's the only thing that could really take care of any of it anyway. So people say, we got to go back and you got to really figure out where it happened and you got to go back and, repent. No. You need to know God's your father, because there's stuff that, I'm not saying people are doing it on purpose, but they're misunderstanding the word of God, and you get it all complicated, and then people get all in knots, like, oh my gosh, I have all this in my life, and my ancestors, and oh my gosh, when I was a little kid, and I got to take care of this, and to get free. No, you don't. No, to get free, you have to say, Jesus, redeem me. I am now in a new family. I'm free. Done. And anything that tries to tell me I'm not, I refute it. That's it. That's really it. And I stay right there. No, I'm free. The Bible said, what are we talking about? The truth. The Bible said, I'm free. Amen. This world is natural. We're not of the world in our spiritual heritage. We're not of it. We're citizens of where? Heaven. So all this other stuff, not the same thing. So we don't have to worry about curses. We don't have to worry about lineages. I'm not saying there isn't. That none of it's important. It's not bad to know where you came from, but you got to say, I am a new creation in Christ, and move on from there. Mm-hmm. And just regardless of where I came from, who my mother, who my father, what my color of skin, that's all natural. It's natural, and you can't control any of it. Amen? I mean, amen. Who in this room determined who your mother and daddy was? You weren't there. You're there shortly after, but you weren't there. You can't do anything about it. Not a person in this room had anything to do about it. That's all flesh. Flesh is flesh. Doesn't matter where it is on the earth, it's still flesh. If people just understood this, there's so many problems in the world that would disappear. They just, this is just flesh. That's all it is. And we all descended from the same, we talked about that a couple weeks. We all descended from the same people anyway. It's true. Everybody in this room came from Noah, who came from Adam. You say, how is that possible? I'm not going to get into it. The Word of God says it, but I mean, you look at how different people are. How is it possible? Well, you don't have to think too hard about this. Just look at somebody that has different ancestry in their, different ancestry in their blood, and they look a certain way, but they have all kinds of genes in there. Well, look at Adam way, way back. Number one, we don't even know what Adam looked like. We don't know. But he had the ability, and his DNA had the ability to produce all of us. It's not that hard to understand. You take God at his word, what he said in Genesis, it's just not that hard. You have to take it by faith and understand it, but the word is truth. It's not that hard. The word is truth, and we all came from him. We all came from a common ancestor, and so we're in this world naturally, but we have to understand, and the thing we're focusing on is spiritual. We're not of this world spiritually. The real us, our spirit being, is not of this world. Yes, you know, I was born in Nebraska. You're born wherever. We're here. We're products of this world naturally, but spiritually, we are in the family of God. Now, this makes all the difference because we need to know what the family we really are in, and then we understand what's going on around us, and we can differentiate. Let's keep moving. Our citizenship is in heaven. 1 Peter 1:17 says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout your time here in fear." We're not going to be here that long. We're staying here for a little bit. And he said, while you're here, conduct yourselves in reverent fear. That's not like runaway fear. That's like God is holy. 1 Peter 1:17, the NLT says, "No, so you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents." So Galatians 1:3, we went over this in detail. We're just flying over here, just a few scriptures here. We went over this in detail. Go back and listen to the previous messages if you didn't. Galatians 1:3, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age." See, that's how we're delivered. How? Because Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. This age is evil. The age, the world, is evil. But we just said we're not of it. We're citizens of heaven. 1 John 5:19 says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." Oh, we went into that. We're not going to take time to recap, but this world is under the sway of the devil. He is called the God of this world in other places, and we went through some of those scriptures. And so this natural world that we're in has been corrupted, has been influenced, is doing things a certain way, and we have to realize we're actually citizens of heaven. Our lineage is in the family of God, and we need to understand that we should do things differently. Look at Colossians 1:9. "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." The Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He's our Father. Verse 13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." We have been redeemed by his blood. We've been conveyed out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we believed on him, see, before we believed on Jesus, we were captives of Satan, of this world. We were of the world. But when we became born again, the Bible says here, verse 13, "He has delivered us." See, we needed delivering. We needed to be delivered. The world needs to be delivered. Jesus has paid the way, but until people act on that, they're still bound whether they know it or not. And we said, this is why Christianity is pushed on so much, because Christianity, Jesus paid the way for people to get out of the enemy's kingdom. The enemy knows this, and he knows it's the only way, which is why there's a pressure to shut down Christianity, even though you don't see that pressure with other religions. That's because they aren't the way out. They didn't pay the price. Only Jesus did. Satan knows this. That's why he's not against religion. He doesn't care, because it's powerless. He's against faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because that's the ticket out of his kingdom, and he doesn't want people out of his kingdom. So he's making this big, kerfuffle over here going, no, nothing about Christianity. Don't stay away from that. Those people are insane. No, they're weird, devil, nothing. And all these people, oh, yeah, go ahead. Because this is the key. This is the way out. Over here, no, don't pay any attention to this. Why? Because it's the only truth. That's the ticket out. The blood of Jesus is the only way we could become children of God. So the world is under this sway. The world is under this influence. But the Bible says here, he's delivered us from the power of darkness. Right there. What we were talking about earlier, about curses, what does it say here? Look at it with me. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. What does that mean then? He has delivered us. Is that past, present, or future tense? You're delivered. You're done. That's it. We're delivered from the power of darkness. Oh, the devil's going to get me. Oh, demons. Oh, witches. No, we've been delivered. There's no place for fear of any of those things for the child of God. Fear gives them their power. If you're afraid of them, oh, witch doctors, you're going to put a curse on me. There's places in the world, they are powerful. Why? Because people fear them. They don't have any power over the Christian. If the Christian just knows this, then you don't have any power. Shut up and leave in the name of Jesus. They have to obey. They know it, but they're going to try to intimidate. Well, there's parts of the world that's dark. They have a lot of power. Don't even think that stuff isn't real. It is real. I remember a friend of mine. He's an evangelist from England, and he was down, I can't remember, somewhere in South America, and he was down there on a crusade or something, but he was with some people, and there was, I can't remember exactly, it was witch dog or something, but this person started levitating in front of him, and he said, you've heard of stuff, and he was right there in front of him. He said the hairs on the back of his head stood up. It's real. And he said, you hear about using the name of Jesus, but it's right in front of his face. This person is floating. That is real stuff, but it's nothing to be scared of. Why does that have any power? Because people fear it because they're in darkness, because they don't know this. They don't know the word of God. So, swayed by the wicked one. It's under the sway. And then you got people, fine, not going to believe that. So then, he has all kinds of, he's got tricks, so he gets people indifferent. Well, I wouldn't believe in witch doctors. Yeah, but you believe God doesn't exist. Okay. I don't care. Pick your poison. Same thing. As long as you don't believe on Jesus, Satan doesn't care. But what does it say? He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption. Have. Does that say going to have, maybe have? It says have. We have redemption. Why? Through his blood. So we are forgiven. We are cleansed. We are in a new kingdom. Now skip down, it's probably next on your sheet, John 8:31. Then we covered this. John 8:31 says, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Again, what makes you free? The truth. What's the truth?
The word.
Jesus is the word. Jesus makes free. Jesus, the blood of Jesus, believing the word of God, acting on the word of God, is what makes free. The word, knowing the truth. If you know the truth, so you can be in darkness and be dealing with the same things over and over, but then the light of the word comes and acting on that word, you're free. Because I don't feel free. Doesn't have anything to do with it. The Bible says you are. If the word comes and it says you're free, and the word of God says you've been conveyed, you've been redeemed or pulled out of the power of darkness,
What was the last scripture? He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed in the kingdom of his son. If the Bible says that, if you go, but I just don't feel like it, it feels so dark. See, you're not letting the truth set you free. The Bible says we're free. The Bible says we've been redeemed. So what do we have to do? Act like it's true. That's when true freedom comes. But I feel afraid. But I feel like this is true. But I feel like something bad's going to happen. The Bible doesn't talk anything about what you feel like. The Bible says this is. Now, what do we have to do? Act like it's true. Accept it as truth. Who said? See, we said the Bible, the word, is truth. It didn't say your feelings are true. Well, I can't believe it. I have a hard time. I just feel like something's wrong. I just feel like, you know, the devil has power over me. I just feel like I can't get rid of this habit. Okay, but the word says he's delivered. The word says I'm free. So what am I going to believe? Tell me what truth is again. The word. So if the word says something and it contradicts what you feel or what you think, which one's true? The word or what you feel?
The word.
But I don't feel like it's true. But what's true? The word. But I feel bad and I just don't feel like I can't overcome this. But what is that true or is the word true?
The word.
But I don't feel like it. And besides that, my mom and my dad and all the generations I know of, they've all had the same problem, and so I just don't know how there's any way I could get over it. But the word says you're free. Now tell me which one's true. Your generations, what your mommy and daddy said, or the word? But see, that's not what people act like. Sounds good in church, but let's see what we get out of here. You know, that was good. I wish I could walk in it. I wish that were true for me. It won't be true for you. As long as you don't act like it's true. The Bible is true. See, we're surrounded by a bunch of people that don't believe the word. They're swayed by the wicked one. They've come from generations of people that don't believe God. They don't believe it as truth. A lot of people believe it's just a bunch of stories, and they don't act like it's true. And if we act like them, we're going to get the results, even though, as Christians, we're out of that family, even though we've been conveyed into the kingdom of God, even though we have been set free. If we act like it's not true, we're going to get the same result as somebody that's still bound. It's like this. You have a prison, and you have a hallway with the prison cells, and you have prisoner A, and prisoner B, and prisoner C, and they all have the doors shut, and they're all locked in. But then prisoner D has his door wide open because he's been set free, but he's still in prison going about his business because he's looking over and go, well, they're all bound. He looks down and E and F and G, and they're all bound, and they're all, well, I guess I am too. And the door is wide open, but he's going to act like everybody else. I wish I could believe I'm free. It doesn't come by wishing. It comes by saying, all right, I'm free, I'm out of here. Bye, guys. I'm out. I'm going to believe God. I'm not of this stuff. I'm not of this world. I should be behaving different. We got to know that this world is corrupted, is deceived. So what is going to set us free? Acting on the truth. The truth is the word. Acting on what Jesus is, came to provide. Now, I said now. Well, next week, you know what? I'm ramping up to it. I may be there in several months. I just don't know. I just don't feel like it quite yet, but I'll get there. Just keep believing with me. No. Do you read it? This is where we have to get to. Oh, that's what the Bible says. It says I'm free. All right, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. This thing that's, you know, kept me bound for 10 years, Bible says I'm free. So I'm acting like I'm free. That doesn't mean I won't, maybe I have some challenges to make that a reality, but I don't quit. I don't go out and try and then say, well, see, it's not working. No, the Bible said I'm free. This has got to go. Just because I fall down a few times does not mean I'm not free. It just means I have some stuff to walk through. But you watch. When the dust settles, I'm free. Because I'm free now. I'm free on the inside. I know I'm free. It's just a matter of time before it shows up on the outside. Hallelujah. That's the way we win. That's the way we overcome. Well, I just don't see it. It doesn't work. Tell me again. I don't see it. I don't feel like it didn't work. And I see it. Well, I tried it and it didn't work. Okay, tell me again. Is what you see truth or what the Word says truth? But what if I didn't see it? What if I tried? Which one's truth? See, when I start letting what I see and feel dictate and say that's truth, that's when I lose. That's it. The Word didn't change just because your situation didn't change overnight. See, that's what a lot of people's problem is. They want it to change overnight. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to snap their fingers and it's done. Even though you got, look at it this way. If it took you 10 years to get into that problem, 5 years to develop that condition, and you want it out in one day, I'm not saying God can't deliver you in one day, but you know what? That's not the most common thing. Most common thing is you get a hold of the Word and decide, I'm free, I don't care what it looks like, and you start walking it and reversing it. And you start walking out of it, and stuff starts falling off you. And the next week, it's better than the week before. And you may go 2-3 weeks where it doesn't look any different, but then all of a sudden, the fourth week, stuff starts falling off again. And then 6 months later, something's falling. And you refuse to be deterred. You're like, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how much of it's gone. Bible says I'm free. The Bible says this is going to change. It's got to go, and I am free. As far as I'm concerned, I'm free. That, I'm not paying attention to the symptoms. It's going to change. Yes. And if we get there, it'll change. Because tell me again, what's truth? The Word. So is that going to come? Well, your situation, sorry, too hard. We'll roll that into truth now because, you know, it didn't work. No. No, the Word will set us free. It's truth. It's going to be truth today. If Jesus doesn't come back soon and we leave this earth, it's still going to be true 200 years from now. Doesn't matter what happened in our situation, it's still true. We're going to have some ahas when we get to heaven. We may say, okay. I see what I did. I see what happened there. All right. My bad. All right, well, I'm here. Let's party. But it's not going to be, Jesus is not going to go, you know, we tried with your situation. But it was a hard one. And I'm sorry, it didn't work in that situation. We're going to have an addendum. I got to get it through somebody. But we're going to have all those copies of the Word, it's going to be modified. All those translations. I'm sorry, I failed. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We may understand some stuff differently. Now, this is not to condemn us. It's just that's the truth. Unless we understand that the problem is not with the Word and what God says and that my situation has to change to line up with the Word of God and not the other way around, we won't be settled enough to get to the other side because we'll always be saying, well, you know, I just don't know, and we'll be waffly. To do that, you have to admit there might be something I don't understand or I might have to tweak. It's okay. Yep. You know what some people do? And a lot of people in this day and age, you know what they do? They fall apart and go, if it's up to me, I can't do anything. Oh, forget that. I can't. And they just fall down in a puddle. Yep. You're saying it's something to do with me? Condemnation. Forget it. I can't do that. I don't want to hear any of that. It doesn't matter if you want to hear it or not. Tell me what the truth is. It's the Word. And if I'm not lining up with the Word, then I'm not going to get the results of the Word. And people in this day and age, last several decades, want to chuck that and act like it couldn't possibly be anything that I'm doing. So what I want to hear is that Jesus does it all anyway. And that's deception. Because where are you at now? If it's all up to Jesus, and that's the reason you got a problem, number one, you just said it's Jesus' problem and God's problem that you're in the situation. You just said it's His fault. He did something wrong. That's not true. Amen. Are you guys following or not? Because this is where a lot of people are. This is how doctrines that get off in the weeds, this is how they get started. Somebody's not seeing something, and instead of saying, you know what, Lord? I know Your Word's true. This is what I'm supposed to be getting. If I'm missing something, You show me. But I know it's not anything with Your Word. I'm going to get it, You just stay with me. I'm going to stay with you, and we're going to get it. I don't care if it takes me 10 years, 20 years. I'm going to get it because your word's truth. Instead of doing that, they start feeling sorry for themselves and start saying, I've done everything I know to do. I've already done it. I've tried God's word. It's not happening. What is that saying? God has failed. May not be saying it out loud because the devil will never prompt you to do it. But he's saying what you're feeling, what you're saying is, I have not missed it. I did not do anything wrong. This is God's problem. God has failed me. I've done the word. I've said the word. I've done everything I know to do. So it's God's problem. So do you see the problem with this line of thinking? So it's God that failed you. See, here's the thing. If everything is up to God, and everything is determined by what He does, then in that case, every problem would be taken care of immediately because God's never going to fail anybody. Everybody would already be saved. Everybody would already be healed. There would be no marital issues. But see, there are more, it's more to it than that. There's a God side, and then there's us receiving it and believing it. Mm-hmm. And I know people start breaking down here, and they start, and I understand the feeling, and I understand the pain, but saying, I just can't take it, it's just not me. If somebody tells me it's something wrong with me, I don't want to hear that, is not going to help the problem. What that means is people start going into a belief system that nothing is my fault. It's not my fault. I don't know why it's not like this, but it's nothing I did. Now, I understand condemnation. That's why it's so important to know our rights and privileges and know what the Bible says and know what the blood of Jesus has done so you don't take condemnation. Because condemnation, this is how Satan works. He tries to drive people. They feel like they can't take anymore. They feel like they've done everything they know to do, and they're still having problems, and they feel like it's their fault, and they just let condemnation drown them. And now, it's just, God isn't helping me, and I don't know why I'm here, and I've tried, and there's no hope, and they go down. That's where that leads. But when we say, God, I believe your word, and I don't care what it looks like, and I don't care that I failed the last 10 times, but I believe that I'm free now, and it's going to change in my life, and if I get knocked down another 150 times, I'm getting back up, and I will see your word in my life. That gives God room to work. That's not, see, when you get despair and depression going, you're looking away from God, and you're letting Satan have full reign in your life. Amen. You're yielding to him. But when we say, nope, I don't care what it looks like, God is on the throne, he's faithful, his word's true, and you'll see it in my life. See, that's looking to him. That's giving him an avenue to work through your life. That kind of person cannot be defeated. May look bad, but you watch, I'm coming out. This will change, you watch. See, that is faith talking. That is faith talking. That is different. That spirit is different than the world spirit. We said we're not of the world. We shouldn't act like it then. We have to think differently. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians 4:17. You guys with me? We're getting there. Ephesians 4:17. Hallelujah. It's on your sheet too. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding, what? Darkened. Being alienated from the life of God. Are you alienated from the life of God as a child of Almighty God? No. But if somebody has not made that decision, they are still under the power of darkness. What do we read in Colossians? We've been redeemed. We've been delivered from that power. Right? So we're not under that. So we got to be conscious of that when we see everybody else doing stupid stuff. We have to say, wait a minute. I'm different. That does not have any power over me. Their understanding is darkened. But the Word is light. The Word is truth. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Because of what? Because of the ignorance that is in them. What's ignorance? You don't know. They don't know. They don't know that they have the opportunity to call on the name of Jesus and to be delivered. They don't know. So they have this darkness because of the blindness of their heart. This is describing the condition of the people in the world that are without Jesus. I don't care what people group they come from. I don't care what religion they identify with. It doesn't matter. They're still of the same family. You're either the family of God or you're not. You've either accepted Jesus and been conveyed out, translated out into His family, or you haven't. It doesn't matter what you say you identify with. That's all natural. Do you see this? It's natural. Well, I'm a this person. No, there's two families. It's either you're in the body of Christ, in the family of God, or you're not. All this other stuff is what men have made up, these differences. At the end of the day, it's are you in Jesus? Have you accepted Christ or not? If we have, then we have brothers and sisters in that family. But if not, it's a different family. And the family here, they have their minds darkened. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. See, some Christians feel like they're alienated from the life of God. They feel like, well, God, if you would do something for me. No. The Bible says we've been put into His family. We have the life of God. We have His Spirit living on the inside of us. So don't act like we don't. It's a sad state when we actually have the power of God, but we act like we don't. Because then we deceive ourselves into thinking there's no hope. Well, I'm already a Christian. I already tried, but it's not working. Well, then that's a bad place. You can deceive yourself because now you actually have the answer, but you don't act on the truth. You don't act on the Word. And now you still think the reason you need something else. But you don't need anything else. What we need to do is act on what we have. We have it. If you're a Christian in here right now, you have everything you need to overcome anything in this life, period. Yes. Now.
Yes.
Now, right now. Yes. But no buts. If you believe that, if you believe what the Bible said, that Jesus has redeemed us, then right now, you have everything you need to overcome any situation in life, period. Right now.
Amen.
Now, I didn't say it's going to come the next 3 minutes. I said you have within yourself everything you need to overcome. In other words, instead of saying, when is something else going to happen, you change that to, I have it now, and I'm going to see it now, and I'm going to start acting on what I have, and I'm going forward. That's a completely different direction. Instead of going in here and beating into the wall and just going, you know, it's like this. If this is what I think, I'm looking for something else new, and I already have everything, I'm just going like this and going, well, I need something else, and I just go like this. Well, I need something else, and I just go like that. I could do that for the rest of my life, and I'm going to get nowhere. But it's changing the direction and saying, I'm free. Now, it may not look like it, but I'm on the way somewhere. See, I'm coming out whether it looks like it to anybody else or not. Don't be concerned about that. I am coming. God has done it. I'm free. The rest of this junk around, if people aren't acting on the Word, that's why they have certain issues. But I see it, and I'm not going to be deceived into thinking that God is not doing anything for me. The fact is, He has already done it for me. Jesus has already transferred me, translated me into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And I need to start acting like what He said is true. I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me, and I will see that power work in my life now. Amen. Now, today. Amen. And it will change.
Yes.
And you don't go by the way you see it. See, people in this world, what are we talking about? We're not of this world. People in the world generally say, well, I want to see it, then I'll believe it. No, we as Christians operate a different way. We say, God said it, therefore I believe it, and now it's going to change. See, that's completely backwards from the world. They're completely backwards from God's way. If God said it, now I believe it. Now I'm going to act like it's true, and then it's going to show up.
Amen.
See, the world, if you start acting like the world, you'll just sit there and go, when's it going to happen? Yeah, nothing happened today either. Guess this is the way I'm gonna live. Pfft, whatever. Don't know why this has happened to me. Where's God? Where's God? See, that's devilish. God is where He always has been. God is faithful. God is just. God has sent the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to start saying, enough of that nonsense. I'm getting up and I'm getting out. My prison door is open. You guys can stay here if you want, but I'm done.
Amen.
I'm out. I'm not acting like the rest of the people that are bound. Jesus said it. The Word of God says it. It's truth, and it dictates what I do in my life from now on.
Amen.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
No more buts. No more buts. I don't care what it looks like. That's not what I'm using to determine if it's truth. Tell me again, what is truth? The Word. The Word's true, whether I feel like it, whether I see it now, where I see it 3 weeks from now, it's true. And that, if we just let that dictate instead of our, we let that dictate our lives instead of what the world is telling us, well, person A says this, and person B says this, and person C has this opinion, and person D has this thesis. Throw all that aside and say, what does the Word of God say? And now go on that. And if somebody says something that helps you understand the Word, great. If somebody says something that bears witness with you as something that's going to help you get there, great. I'm not saying throw all of it out, but the primary focus is the Word.
Amen.
And anything that doesn't line up the Word, I'm chucking. God's Word is final. God's Word is truth, and I will let His Word dominate my life.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Let's wrap up with this verse, but we're getting to where we need to be. It says, verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. You. In other words, you're different. What are we talking about? We're not of this world.
Right.
Well, everybody's doing it. So what? Who's everybody? Number one. So many times when you hear everybody, no. It's like, that guy's doing it. She said, everybody's saying this, Mom. Who? Well, this guy.
Yeah.
Huh? Who's they? Who's this they? Well, it's they. Well, think about it.
Yeah.
What does this say? You haven't learned. So learn Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows according to the deceitful lusts. See, your old man. Your old man. The way you learn, the way everybody else does it. We need to put that off. Say, I'm not doing that anymore. If it's not based on the Word of truth, if it's not based on the Bible, I don't care who told it to me. I don't care if I had respect for them. They were probably doing the best they knew how to do. But if it isn't in the Word of God, I have to reverence the Word higher, and I'm going to start doing things according to the Word. So I got to put off that former conduct. Yeah, but our family's always done this since I can remember. Who cares? Is it the truth or not? All of us have to deal with this. None of us came from a perfect family. None of us came from a perfect society.
Mm-hmm.
But if we'll start judging it based on the Word and nothing else, we'll start making progress.
Amen.
Wherever you are, whatever level, the problem is always this. No matter where we are in life, no matter how high we've attained, the reason we haven't attained further is because of our understanding of the word, period. Now, there are people that are non-Christians that are putting into action principles based on the word, and they'll see the fruit. Christians don't believe anything, but if they'll put certain principles, if they're honest, if they do certain business principles right, if they're givers, you know what? They're still going to see some fruit. But why aren't they seeing more? Because their mind has not been renewed to where it needs to. Now read this next part. Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God. Who's the new man? That's the one that's not of this world. The old man of this world. Old man, descendant of whoever. New man, God Almighty, my Father, Daddy, Jesus, my big brother. That's my new family. That's the new man. That's who we should identify with. See, there's so many problems in this world because people are identifying with the fallen natural things that they came from. And that's, if you're a Christian, that you have no business doing that. I'm not saying we reject our family. Yes, we have traditions. Yes, we love them. But we can't let it be higher than the Word and who we are now.
Right.
We have a new man. That's the one on the inside. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. This is the change. When we start letting the word dictate what we believe and what we act on, and we start letting it change our behavior from what it used to be, when that was based on some other thing other than the Bible, to where we start putting on the new man, which was created in righteousness and holiness, and we start acting according to that man. When we start acting according to the Word, when we start acting according to the truth, renew our mind with that, that's when true change comes. And anything that we're experiencing that is short of what the Word promises is because in our mind we're still believing something that contradicts the Word, period. Amen.